This is The Beat, a podcast series that keeps you in the know about the latest community policing topics facing our nation.
So hello and welcome. My name is Nazmi Al-Qadi, and on behalf of the Cops Office, I would like to introduce you to Police Chief John Edwards and retired Lieutenant Brian Murphy. Chief Edwards is a police chief in Oak Creek, Wisconsin, and Lieutenant Brian Murphy retired from Oak Creek Police Department in 2013 after 23 years in law enforcement. Today, Chief Edwards and Lieutenant Murphy are here to discuss the August 2012 shooting at the Sikh Temple of Wisconsin and the aftermath for the community of Oak Creek. Welcome, Chief Edwards and Lieutenant Murphy. Please tell us about the fateful events the morning of August 5th, 2012.
On August 5th, 2012, it was a sunny, pleasant day, very ordinary day as far as calls for service to the city. About 10:25. We got the call of a possible fight at the Sikh Temple in Oak Creek. As we started to respond, it got upgraded to possible shots fired, and then definite shots were being fired inside the temple. I was the first to arrive. I drove into the parking lot and saw two gentlemen who were later identified as brothers, one laying on top of the other. I went to check on them, and immediately after, Wade Michael Page came out of the front of the temple. He and I engaged in a gun battle where I was struck 15 times in total, 12 in my body. Before Officer Sam Lendell of the Oak Creek Police Department arrived on the scene, engaged Wade Michael Page and shot him. Subsequently, Mr. Page killed himself. I was taken to Freedom Memorial Hospital and was able to recover mostly from my wounds.
And as far as that day when I am involved in it, I don't live too far from where the temple itself is. And Brian said it was a real beautiful day on a Sunday, warm, in the 90s. And I was actually taking one of my daughters she's just got an apartment. And I was taking her down the road to get some furniture, and we happened to be going past the temple. I came past a Milwaukee County Sheriff's Squad, blocked the roadway in front of the temple, and piqued my interest as why this was happening in my city, and I was being blocked by a sheriff. I immediately called dispatch, advised what happened. I could tell there was a lot of concern, and we had somebody shot. They put me right through to the ambulance and talked to an officer who was with Brian in the ambulance and asked status and what was going on, and he kind of filled me in on Brian's injuries. Brian was awake and talking. I could hear people in the background talking to him. And then the officer, I let him go, and they were heading to the hospital. Immediately went in and was pretty much the first commander on scene. Did have a sergeant who showed up, was off duty, heard it, came in, and had taken over the inner perimeter where the squads were in that parking lot itself. There was already a staging area setting up with all kinds of responders showing up in a parking lot across the street. Showed up and looked at that sergeant and told him that I'll take command. He has inner perimeter. He looked at me very relieved and said thanks, and because he was getting pulled in all kinds of different directions with everything that was going on. Back to the command area, and it was a lot of chaos. There was a lot of chaos going on. We had a lot of people who were self-reporting. We had done a mutual aid response. We have in the Milwaukee area, another adjoining county of Waukesha, we have something that is called the SMARTS, Suburban Mutual Aid Response Teams. It was developed 20 years ago by the chiefs in the area, and I don't think they understood the value that it was going to have when they put this together. Very simple way of calling in mutual aid without having to listen for what's going on, telling dispatcher call the neighboring jurisdiction. Basically, every level that you get, you call, you get five responding officers from another agency. They had done a level 7, which gives us 35 officers. Our officers know they got 35 cops coming within minutes to help. We ended up, it was all said and done, with what we counted, over 440 law enforcement. Doesn't include all the fire. Media was already setting up, so there was a lot of chaos. There's federal agencies, state agencies. Every three-letter agency acronym you can think of showed up, whether it was state or federal. There was a lot of chaos on our end as far as getting this together, because initially we had reports that there were 4 to 5 shooters and up to 20 to 40 people dead, is some of the reports that were coming in. The officers on scene who responded knew different. We were the ones there, and they could see see what was going on in the inner perimeter, but we were still getting calls, family members of the Sikh community telling us different. Well, there was a lot of confusion. A lot of the Sikh members were sending out texts to the media as they were in the temple. And so it was making the communication that there was a lot of confusion on what was going on. The officers who responded, we had seven respond from our day shift that day, including Brian. And Brian was the only supervisor. So their supervisor was out of this equation pretty quickly. And really, if he had been there that day in a different role, would have been the person that I would have put in charge or in command, because that's his expertise. Emergency management incident command is what Brian knows. It. Those officers who responded took care of the problem, did excellent police work that day, and I say that everywhere I go. What really happened that day was cops doing what they were supposed to do, handling the problem, thinking over what they needed to, not worrying about we need approval for this or that. They were empowered with being able to do what they needed to do to handle that situation. Really, there was about 6 minutes from the time of the call to when the officer who arrived on scene, Sam Linda, shot the suspect. That was excellent police work and actually solved our problem. All the rest was a lot of chaos and confusion that we had to get a handle on. But that's pretty much how that day went for the rest of the day for us, until we got a pretty good handle on how many shooters, that we had only one shooter down, and that was it. The chaos continued for quite a while.
Wow. Thank you. Chief Edwards, how did you work with the Sikh community, residents, local town leaders, community partners, and other law enforcement agencies to address the shooting and prevent rising tensions in the community?
One of the things we did fairly quickly, we had a press conference that Monday morning, went national. The situation for us was this shooting became international very quickly, with the Sikh community having been petitioning the FBI for a number of years to be put on the UCR reporting forms as a religion, and for whatever reasons denied over the years. The minute that this came out, became international very quick. It was an election year, presidential, governor, NRC. We had a recall going. There was all kinds of elections, so there was a lot of lobbies who got up really quick, and this became very international very quickly as far as the Sikh community. We had our press conference that Monday, and one of the things that we did, the mayor and I, Steve Scafidi, is we've known each other for 35 years, longer than both been in any public service. And we have a very good working relationship. We had one meeting before the press conference. He has a degree in communication. That's what he does. And he asked me what he needed from me. I told him, you need to go first. You need to show the city that they have a strong mayor, back your police department. And then I told him I would go on and let them know that they're safe by all the what the officers did that at the scene, plus afterwards, to make sure that there were no more threats. Looked at me, said, got it. We never had to talk again. A lot of press conferences together and meetings, and we always had that same message. And then at that press conference, we promised the Sikh community a private meeting after with no media. Did meet with them, and they asked us a lot of tough questions about what happened that day. It was the mayor and I and assemblymen from our district and the elders from the church. We made promises about security for them so they could feel comfortable to go back. And we followed through on those promises. Everything we told them have come to fruition as far as security, safety at their gurdwara. The first things that happened was that Tuesday we had a national night out. We incorporated a vigil, a candlelight vigil, that had thousands and thousands of people attend. It was amazing to see the entire community came out. One of the things we found from the message we gave out at the press conference, it was a good, strong message, and it told the community everybody was safe, and it actually that was true, because they all did come out. They weren't worried. We planned for a copycat. We planned for a retaliation from the white supremacists. Nothing happened, and everybody came out with no fear, and it really showed us that we got the message out to the community, the Sikh community, on that we were going to take care of them and make sure we followed through on our promises.
Thank you. Lieutenant Murphy, can you tell us about the response you received from the Sikh community and how you reacted?
What from the Sikh community started? And it incident stopped. Immediately after the incident, there were members and leaders from the Sikh temple who had come to the hospital to visit me there. Just thousands upon thousands of letters, banners. And this type of reaction was something that I definitely wasn't used to. I can remember laying in the hospital bed, waiting for them to come and clear out Matrix both Sam Lend and I with the portrait that he had done, which was phenomenal. And again, by having that support behind you, it just is overwhelming to understand how many people out there were affected by this. When I was released from the hospital and opened my email at home, there were over 2,200 emails from the sick community all over the world, which again is extremely overwhelming, and it does help you. It definitely helped me in my time of need. Now I have a tremendous amount of friends and, again, still support from the community, which I think helps to bolster relationships not only with my family and I, but with the city of Oak Creek in general.
Thank you. So, Chief Edwards, how were you able to engage and unite the community?
Well, some of the things we talked about, but one thing I did, working with the mayor, he did appoint a member of the Sikh community to our community development committee, which is one of the most important things in the city as far as future development. I actually, with Mr. Dulai, went to Washington, and we spoke at a couple panel discussions with Homeland Security on safety and security in churches, schools, things like that. He gave his perspective, I gave ours, on what we've done and what we helped them do afterwards and how to engage the private sector doing those things. We met with Napolitano, was on the panel, and we gave our input on those things. And we continue to look at ways. We're building a new city hall, library, City of Oak Creek. One of the things that we're going to be doing there is there's going to be a kiosk with all the different families and groups that are in Oak Creek. We have many different churches. We have the Egyptian Coptic Church in our city. We have a Korean church. We have Baptist church. We have Methodist. We're going to put kiosks with flyers on the different groups and what they're all about and any information that they need to show the diversity in the city. We're working with that. The portraits that were painted of Sam and Brian, they've graciously donated them to the city, and at the new city hall, they're going to hang in an area, and we're also going to put the artist's photograph with that, with a plaque, a little explanation of him painting that he did. One of the things that I continue to do when I go out and talk to the law enforcement community is tell them that every city, there are people who are in your city that you don't know about. You see, you know they're there. Sometimes it's easier to just say, oh, they're there, we don't have any issues. I made the mistake, I didn't know much about the Sikh community till after this. Brian knew more from his military days on the Sikh community, and that was my fault. I should have known more. Might have been able to push a little harder as far as offering more security to them that they didn't want at the time when they came in. I tell people, go and find out about them, know what they're about. You might head off some things or some issues if you just learn about the people in your community, and we push that as much as possible.
And finally, Chief Edwards and Lieutenant Murphy, looking back at the shooting and the events that followed, what are the challenges of working on hate crime cases? And what advice would you give to other departments on preventing and responding to similar situations?
That's a tough one because, you know, law enforcement, when we have this type of a case, we don't start off as a hate crime. Like, oh, we have a hate crime. What we had here is we had an officer shot multiple times by a suspect. He's now another officer engaged him. So we're treating it as a active shooter, officer down, and then an officer-involved shooting with the officer shooting that suspect. The hate part of it comes in much later for law enforcement. It's a lot different than in the community that they say this is obviously a hate crime. We don't start there because usually in the penalty phase, it's an enhancer. It enhances the penalty going to prison. We have to look at that. We can add that onto it. And then it's almost like working in reverse because once you find out that it is, you go back and try and find out where it started or what you can do to prevent it in the future. And in our case, we had white supremacists. He did not pick the Sikh because they were Sikh. He picked them because they were different and they weren't of the white race or in his beliefs, white race. So it could have been anyone. It could have been our Egyptian Coptic church. It could have been the Korean church. It wouldn't have mattered. They were different and that's why he picked them. That's a very difficult one to wrap your hands around on how you try and prevent those. Other than documenting, make sure that we look at cases, any crimes, any bullying, anything we might get, and make sure that we're not overlooking that as a possibility, that it's more than just disorderly conduct or a battery. There might be something more to it. Worked with a former white supremacist who's been at a lot of our talks, came to a panel discussion. He's been at a lot of the Oak Creek events that we've had regarding the Sikh temple and some of the anniversary dates. And he's one of our most powerful messages to get out there and talk about how he had the hate in him and now it's turned around, how you can get sucked into this. So he's a big proponent of that. It is a difficult one to fight. It's a difficult one to get your hands around because a lot of times it's underlying and it's very difficult to prove in some instances. This one was easy. He hated anyone who wasn't white. That was given. That was a no-brainer. They're not always easy, but you got to keep looking for it.
The importance of the reporting in the hate crime forms, though, shows patternization and victimology. So it does make police departments more aware of specific threats against specific groups. The idea that the Sikh community religion was not on the forms was an absolute oversight on the part of the federal government, being the fifth largest religion in the world. Having said that, I agree with the chief that it's incumbent on the police department and the community to be aware of everyone who belongs and who doesn't belong on church property or any of those things, to understand bullying, any threats that come in whatsoever should be taken seriously. And again, in this situation, really what we had was a person acting completely alone. And those are something that you really can't prepare for necessarily. They're just going to happen and you need to respond as best you can, which I think we did.
Thank you, Chief Edwards and Lieutenant Murphy, for providing us with your expertise and time today, and thank you for your service to the community as well. This podcast is part of a series of podcasts related to the Cops Office Project with Not in Our Town. For more information and additional resources, including Waking in Oak Creek, a film featuring both Chief Edwards and Lieutenant Murphy, please visit www.niot.org/cops.
The Beat was brought to you by the United States Department of Justice Cops Office. The Cops Office helps to keep our nation's communities safe by giving grants to law enforcement agencies, developing community policing publications, developing partnerships, and solving problems.
The opinions contained herein are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official position or policies of the U.S. Department of Justice. References to specific agencies, companies, products, or services should not be considered an endorsement by the authors or the U.S. Department of Justice. Rather, the references are illustrations to supplement discussion of the issues.